Okay, here we go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our spiritual weather report call, and it's August 19th, 2018. And I'm so happy to be here with you today. I always feel a sense of excitement with these gatherings. The times that we're in are so intense, as you all know, and there's something about gathering and community that's so important at this time. It provides a comfort and a peace and some kind of reassurance when we're all together and we can talk about what's happening. It doesn't seem so challenging somehow. So anyway, I'm just delighted that we can all gather like this and use this technology to its highest use. I wanted to mention, just got off the phone with Leslie in South Africa, and she's so happy. And I know she's listening to the call right now. So hi from all of us, Leslie. And she's just very, very focused on the ascension of consciousness that we're all experiencing and the planet is experiencing. It's the most of her day, that's what she's focused on. So she wanted me to let you know that she sends her love and she misses everybody. And she wants you to know that she's very close to us and very much with us, even though we don't hear her voice anymore. But it's not an indication just because we don't hear her voice that she's not with us. She definitely is. And she's spending lots of time in meditation and processing and holding space for the ascension and consciousness of the planet. And especially for all of us, all of her Core Light community. So before we get started today, I think also I just wanted to mention, I know the astrology is still very intense. We're just coming out of a very intense period anyway. We've had the three eclipses. We discussed last month's call. We had Stephanie Austin with us, who's a master astrologer, and she was sharing with us just what's going on. And I just know that as we emerge from the intensity of what just happened with all the eclipses and the other things, it still feels intense. We're still in this time that can feel very full of challenge and at the same time opportunity. So to me, that's the key, is to remember both with the challenge comes the opportunity and the gift. So it's a very productive time. It's especially a productive time to be processing. So if you find your life thrown into chaos for some reason, or you're just going through some minor process, just be aware that any time that you spend right now on processing is multiplied. It's like a magnifying glass in the processing right now. So we have a great opportunity to ascend. I have a friend who calls it an ascension accelerator. So that's where we are. We're in the ascension accelerator right now. We can clear a huge amount in a short amount of time. So I think that's the invitation for right now for all of us. I know just to recap from last time a little bit, I don't know what you all experienced, but boy, that last eclipse was incredible. The third eclipse of three. I experienced it as a very powerful reboot. It was like a computer system that, you know, when you're downloading new software, which is like what the eclipse was about, you have to shut the computer down and then reboot it so that everything comes online. And to me, when that shadow passes across the moon, that's what it feels like. We're given a really powerful moment to process and reboot the computer and download a whole new operating system for ourselves. So I feel like that's what's happening, and we're kind of in the slipstream of that. We're in the aftermath of that right now. I'm not sure if you're all experiencing that or not, but that was very clear from what I could see and from what I've heard other people report. And I wanted to tell you, before we get started, I just have to tell you one little story. it was really interesting. Just days before that third eclipse, was the eclipse of August 11th into the 12th, just a week ago. What was so interesting was just a few days before, we got an email from a friend reminding us that that eclipse was an eclipse that happens exactly every 19 years. So we looked back 19 years before what we were doing, and we remembered that that was August 11th to 12th of 1999. And that was an incredibly powerful moment for me and Leslie and the Core Light community. If you've been around a long time, you'll remember this, and maybe some of you were actually with us at that time, but Leslie's guides told her months and months in advance of that, maybe a year or so, that we were to be in Egypt at that time. We were actually to be in the Great Pyramid at the time of the eclipse. It was one of these injunctions from the guides that is memorable, you know, because those didn't happen all the time, but occasionally Leslie would say, oh, they're telling me we need to be here at this time, and, you know, we would always do it. And sure enough, it was extraordinary. We were in the Great Pyramid the whole night. We went in at midnight and came out at dawn. And at dawn on the 12th, we walked over to the paws of the Sphinx, and our guide had organized for us to have a meditation alone between the paws of the Sphinx at sunrise. It was absolutely profound. Leslie wrote a chapter in a book about it. I don't know if you all have read that book. It's on our web store. It's called The Modern Day Alchemist from the Land of the Pharaohs. And it was different spiritual teachers and authors writing about their experiences of Egypt. And when Leslie was invited to write that chapter for that book, she chose to write about that experience, our first experience of going to Egypt, which was that eclipse of 19 years ago. And so I share this story with you just because it was so profound for us, and I feel like that 19-year cycle was important. So there's an invitation here to all of us, and that is to look back at what you were doing 19 years ago last weekend, and just see if there's any cycle, a 19-year cycle that might be completing for you, and something new beginning. It's always interesting to do that. I find these cycles fascinating. So you might find that a good exercise for yourself. And just to wrap up the story, what happened was August 12th was Leslie's birthday, as I'm sure all of you know. So a belated happy birthday to you, Leslie. We're all sending you happy birthday wishes. I know you had your celebration last week, but one more today, another celebration. And of course, when we meditated between the paws of the Sphinx 19 years ago, on that day, it was Leslie's birthday, of course, on August 12th. And our host brought a birthday cake with candles to Leslie between the paws of the Sphinx. And it was absolutely surreal. So we all sat there singing happy birthday to Leslie while she blew out her candles at the Sphinx. And it was just such a memorable moment. I thought I should just remind Leslie and remind all of us about that if you hadn't heard that story. So also, we want to just take this opportunity to thank all of you, anybody who wrote messages or sent photos or made a donation or just joined us in the celebration of the meditation gathering a week ago today. Was really powerful. We had a lot of reports from people that they felt Leslie Shakti transmission. And so, Leslie, we thank you for that gift that you gave us on your birthday. And it was just delightful. And I know Leslie was absolutely delighted as well about her birthday. They had a wonderful celebration there. Anyway, I could go on about that, but I just thought it was important to share with you all about that cycle and about the power of that eclipse. And nothing to take lightly, you know, these astrological alignments, especially the eclipses. So just be aware, I would say, to summarize, that we're in a slipstream. you know, we're coming out of this time, of this very powerful time. And so be apprised that whatever's happening for you in your life, it's an opportunity to use it as the ascension accelerator. And I think that's going to continue for a little while. I think we'll have that power for the next little while. So last month we dedicated our call to all of the people and the animals and the nature that were affected by the very intense fires that had been happening in Athens, Greece, and also in Redding, in and around Redding, California. And there were so many sad stories about the loss of life and home in those areas. So I know that it's not over and that the fires are still raging in the, on the west coast of the U.S. I know that they're around L.A. Forgive me, I've been traveling a little bit, so I don't know all the latest details. But I do know that fires are still affecting people around the world, especially on the west coast of the U.S. And, you know, in general, extreme weather, as we all know, is affecting people all over the world. So let's continue, I think, today to hold all of these people and animals and nature affected by these extreme weather events in our thoughts and prayers. And we can dedicate our meditation today to that. And Barbara, I just wondered if you would be willing to speak to us for just a moment to tell us, to give us a little update about how things are now in Redding.
Yes, here I am, Brad. Thank you for that. I had shared a little bit earlier, but this will actually go on the recording. It appears that about 75% of the fire is contained, but it's over 250,000 acres that have burned. I mean, it's a massive amount of our beautiful land that has been taken up in the fire, along with so many animals. And right now what we're being affected with is the smoke. And I think I was sharing a little bit earlier that we saw the moon for the first time last night. We hadn't seen the moon for 2 weeks since the blood moon eclipse. And we've been able to see just a little bit of blue sky that's still kind of hazed over. So there's a lot of smoke. The air is still very, very unhealthy. But the good news is that the majority of the fire is contained. So thank you, everyone, for all your love and your prayers that you have sent. We have really felt ourselves being so held by all of you. So thank you so much to everyone. And thank you, Brad, for asking. Yeah,
thank you, Barbara. Sorry to hear about the smoke, and we definitely will continue to keep you and everybody there in our thoughts and prayers. And can you just tell, since I have been traveling, I haven't kept up with the news, I heard that the fires are very intense around L.A. Is there more about that you want to
share? I don't know about the fires in L.A. I do know that in Mendocino County, there's a tremendous number of acreage that's been lost as well. And I guess, that's basically been the news around here. So if anybody else knows more about the LA fires, perhaps they can speak to that. I don't have any specific info.
Yeah, I heard from somebody yesterday that was very, very intense, that there was a huge amount on fire and it wasn't being contained easily. So in any case, feel free during the question and answer period if you know of any extreme weather events that people are going through, please feel free to share so that we can all be holding that in our thoughts and prayers. So thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah. Okay, so we're ready to begin, and we're going to start with our guided meditation. And I just want to remind everybody, if you are a regular on these calls, you know that Leslie is joining us in South Africa, and she sends a Shakti transmission while we have our call. In fact, she's surrounded by several of our dear friends there supporting her while I'm away traveling and teaching. And just be aware that even though she's not speaking, she's with us. And what we invite you to do is be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission. So whether we're talking or not, it doesn't matter. Whether you're listening live today or to the recording, it doesn't matter. This is a field, and we're all part of it. We're all connected to it, and time and space really don't matter. So we invite everybody to tune in to these other levels beyond time and space, where we're all connected and where we live in the heart and in love. So we invite you to be yin, go receptive and receive this transmission of light that's coming through. And this is a field that we're all participating in and we're generating together. So please close your eyes and get comfortable. And begin with some long, deep breaths. And if you're somebody who multitasks during these calls, this is a good time to stop what you're doing and just give yourself the gift of being right here, right now, and letting go. It's important to be comfortable and also to keep your spine straight. As straight as you can. But definitely relax. That's the key. So continue taking long, slow, deep breaths. And with each exhale, deeply relax. Deeply let go. The breathing is so conducive to relaxing and letting go. It's a physiological response of the body from the vagus nerve that runs from the brain all the way down the spine and throughout the body. And it's stimulated as we do these breathing exercises, the long, deep breathing. So just continue this while I speak. You can just continue to breathe and relax and let go while we go through our meditation. Visualize a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey, and allow it to relax all of the muscles that it touches, the scalp and the forehead. Let it roll over your eyebrows and into your eye sockets, deeply relaxing your eyeballs. Let them just fall back naturally into their sockets. And the temples and the facial muscles, just let them go. Let the tension go, especially in the jaw. And let's all take a nice big yawn together, stretching the jaw wide open, which really helps you relax and let go when you yawn. So relax the back of the tongue and gently touch the roof of your mouth with the tip of your tongue. And allow your lower jaw to hang just a little bit so that your teeth aren't touching and you keep your lips closed. In this position, there's some kind of electromagnetic connections that happen when we do this that are conducive to relaxing and to meditation. And especially relax the back of the tongue, which relaxes a whole region in the back of the head and the neck and shoulders. So just allow that right now while you breathe. Allow that whole region to let go. And feel the liquid continuing to pour down, relaxing your neck and shoulders, your arms, upper and lower, wrists and hands, fingers. Breathing in the light, breathing out the tension. Feel the liquid pouring down over your chest and your back, relaxing the whole torso, the abdomen and lower back, pelvis, genitals. Just relax, let everything go. And the upper legs, thighs, and hamstrings, knees, lower legs, shins, calves, ankles, feet, and toes. Breathing in the light into all of these areas and breathing out any tension. And let's all scan our bodies one more time from head to toes while I be quiet for just a moment and feel if there's any place that you're still holding on to any tension. And if so, just breathe light into that area and breathe out the stress and the tension. And now, while you continue your breathing, let's put our attention on the crown chakra. And if you're new to this, the crown chakra sits on the top of your head like a crown. And just put your attention there and feel that. Feel it like a 1,000-petaled lotus sitting there, opening up petal by petal. Feel your crown chakra opening like the lotus. And feel a golden white light raining down from above, pouring down into your crown chakra, into your aura. You can feel the crown chakra like a funnel. Opens up and out. And feel that golden white light pouring into that funnel. Just stay with this for a little while. It might take a moment for us to open the crown chakra fully. And if you can't feel it, that's okay. Just set your intention that that's what you would like. And it will happen. Whether you can feel it or not. But let's just stick with it. So, feel the crown chakra continuing to open, petal by petal, like a lotus. Feel this light pouring down, filling you up. Feel it permeating your physical body as well as your aura, and let it fill you up. You can visualize each cell of your body, the trillions of cells in your body, like a miniature sponge, each one like a miniature sponge, soaking up this beautiful golden white light. And it's warm and relaxing and peaceful. Such a beautiful feeling to be filled up with this celestial energy. Now I can feel we're all starting to feel it more now. So just allow that. Allow the feelings to unfold, of relaxation and deep, deep letting go and deep peace. Continue your breathing, continue receiving, just letting go and going in and allowing. So while you allow this process to unfold, I invite you to bring your attention from the crown all the way down the core of your being to the root chakra. The root chakra is between the anus and the genitals, the base of the spine, if you're new to this. And when you put your attention in that place, the root chakra naturally relaxes and opens. Physically, there's a muscle there on the floor of the pelvis, the perineum. And when you put your attention there, you can feel it relax. And you also can feel the root chakra naturally open. That in itself is very relaxing and grounding. So just allow that. And then drop your grounding cord down into the earth. Take it down as far as you can, all the way to the center of the earth, if you're able to. Connecting your grounding cord with the center of the earth. And then draw that energy back up into your body. Feel the Mother Earth energy coming up into your body. Feel how grounding and relaxing it is. Just stay with this for a moment. Feel gravity pulling you down towards the earth, and feel the support of Mother Earth beneath you. Either if you're lying on the floor, you feel it all across your back. If you're sitting in a chair, you'll feel it wherever you're touching the chair, where your feet are touching the floor. So just put your attention on those areas where your body is connected to the earth via the chair. Just allow yourself to feel the support and relax and let go into that as gravity pulls you down. And visualize Mother Earth cradling you like a little baby. And just be that little infant for a few moments. Just allow yourself to feel completely relaxed in the arms of the mother, and let go into her embrace. Deeply, deeply let go and feel the peace and the safety and the comfort that comes from this connection we have with our mother. And just be with this for a moment. I just want you to stay with this feeling. I'm feeling it very profoundly right now. So I think we're all in a very peaceful place with this. So just stay with that while we're all in this beautiful embrace of the mother. I'll say a little prayer and an invocation. So we invite in all of our highest spiritual guides, all the angels and archangels and ascended masters and all the beings who surround us in the highest love and support. And I invite you right now silently to call in any of your highest spiritual guides and teachers who you know support you. Just invite them into the call, into our gathering. So we call on you all to surround us, please, in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light. Fill us up with this light. Fill us with peace and love and joy and energy that supports us in every way. And we give great thanks, knowing that you're here with us. We give thanks for this opportunity to be together today, to share our love with each other, to share our hearts. And we ask, guides, that you please guide our conversations into the highest wisdom and the highest love. We especially ask for blessing on all the people of the world, all the animals and all the nature that are affected by the extreme weather events, especially the fires and the ones that we know of are happening on the west coast of the U.S., but I'm sure there are others. And so we ask for these beings to be surrounded with love and light and energy, healing energy. These beings in these places. And in fact, we extend that prayer. We ask for all people on this planet who suffer from, for any reason, from war or from sickness or poverty, all the refugees of the world, all people who are feeling separate and cut off from spirit. We ask for a blessing for everybody. And we give thanks, knowing that this is so. And we fill our hearts with deep, deep gratitude for this opportunity of sharing our hearts today. Thank you. Aho. And now, when you feel ready, slowly bring your attention back into the room where you are, back into your body. Slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. Or I suppose you can keep them closed if you want and just relax. So before we get started, with our conversation today, I also just wanted to mention a few things. You may have seen the email we sent out about our retreat in South Africa coming up next year, March 30th through April 16th. I'm co-leading that with my friend Ruth Garland, and we'd love to have you join us. It's going to be very inspiring, very amazing. These trips to South Africa always are. And There's another email coming out today about it. So if you want to check your email for it, it's also on our events page on our website. And we're going to be doing things like visiting the White Lions. And we're going to go to Adam's Calendar, which is one of the oldest calendrical stone arrangements in the world. It's like 75,000 years old or something. And incredible energy there, as well as the Blada River Canyon and visiting our projects in the rural areas where we support the AIDS orphans and the marginalized communities there. So these trips are always very special, and I invite you to consider it. And also, as I've said before, if you're somebody who tends to just discount this and say, oh, I could never go to something like that because I don't have the time or the money or the energy or whatever it is, I invite you to suspend that judgment and just tune in and ask and see if you're meant to be there. And allow that. If you're meant to be there, allow that to manifest for yourself. So do consider coming to join us. It's one of my favorite things to do all year. The highlight is bringing people to South Africa. We get to have time in meditation in our living room with Leslie and do all kinds of fun things as we travel around. So let's see. I wanted to mention, we haven't announced yet the dates for the Spiritual Weather Report calls for the rest of the year, but I'm going to tell you right now, and we'll also send out an email with this information. But if you want to write them down, the Spiritual Weather Report calls will be on Sundays, same time as always this time, September 16th, October 14th. And we'll be skipping November due to the all-student conference that we're going to offer. If you are in the Spiritual Warrior Training Course or the Enhanced Self-Discovery Course or are a graduate of those courses, you're invited to join us for the all-student conference. And we'll announce those dates. It'll be sometime, it'll be a three-day weekend sometime in early November. And then the last Spiritual Weather Report call is December 2nd, the last one for the year. And the Squares calls that Barbara leads for students who are in these courses or graduates to do square processing, if you want to do that, September 30th, October 28th, skipping November, and then December 16th. So we'd love to have you join us on all of those calls. And I also just wanted to mention we're really excited about something, and that is that we're full steam ahead on Core Lights and Seeds of Light's new websites right now. We hope to complete these before the end of the year, so stay tuned. It's really very exciting. They're beautifully done. And Core Lights site is going to include a gallery of Leslie's art. She's been taking on this new role, as most of you know, as a sacred artist, which brings her endless joy. And the work is magnificent, and it contains a transmission of Shakti, healing energy. And so we'll be exhibiting that on the site, and then we'll also have giclées for sale. And the giclées are the museum-quality prints of Leslie's art on canvas. So you can order those, too. And also, with the launch of the website, we'll be launching the publication of the book that I wrote called Living with Enlightenment, A Journey of Love. And that's about Leslie's and my journey together. So we're all looking forward to sharing all of these new things with you, which is exciting for us, and I hope you enjoy them. Lastly, the last thing I want to mention is most of you know about Seeds of Light. Seeds of Light is our humanitarian arm. We support AIDS orphans and marginalized communities in South Africa. And our director, Dr. Wendy Fraser, she is stepping down, and a new director is coming in, Lynn Watson, as of September 1st. And I know Lynn's just arriving in South Africa now, getting settled. So I wanted to first thank Wendy and also to welcome Lynn. And you'll see more, if you're on our email list, you'll see an announcement coming through about that too. But it's Wendy's done a brilliant, brilliant job with Seeds of Light and really laid a very strong foundation for Lynn to step into. And Lynn's bringing a whole new set of skills that's going to open up new directions for Seeds of Light, which we're all very excited about. Okay. Before I go on, Barbara, is there anything else that you can think of? Do you want to say anything about the squares calls, or is there anything else to share before we talk about our topic for today?
Yes, Brad. Actually, we had a squares call last week. It was very powerful, and we had a lot of sharing. And we ended up not doing a square because there was so much energy and so much to share. And it was on Leslie's birthday, and we all on the call could really feel Leslie's transmission. It was really exquisite. And what ended up coming through was the head-body disconnect, and that a lot of people were feeling disconnected from their body. And so I offered to do an actual square processing call where we process this connect and disconnect hidden body for next week for the 26th. If there's anyone who would be available and who would like to participate in the squares call next week, I'll be sending out notification, and you are all more than welcome to join us.
Oh, great, Barbara. Thanks for offering an extra call. That's wonderful.
It feels really important. Yeah, it feels really important right now, Brad, and especially with what you were saying. The energies are extremely intense for so many of us. I don't think it's, you know, that anybody's really kind of skated through these times. And so, and as you said earlier in the call, you know, processing has been amped up exponentially. So anyone who wants to really get a big hit on or boost on this clearing, we would love to have you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Yeah, and I can't recommend those calls highly enough. It's so powerful to process as a group, and Barbara is a master squares processor. So I know those calls are profound. So if you're part of Spiritual Warrior or Enhanced Self-Discovery or a graduate of those courses, you're invited to attend.
Thanks, Brad. We'd love to have you.
Thanks, Barbara. Okay. Well, I have to say, I was meditating on what to talk about today for our topic, and I'm of two minds. There are a couple of things, so I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about today. It's one of two things, and I'm just trying to tune in to see what's wanting here. I think I want to share about an experience that I had recently. And the topic around this is the power of our thoughts. And there are a few stories, but I was reminded of this recently because I had something happen. And it was that I had to travel to Istanbul, Turkey. I had to go there to try to renew my visa for the EU, for the European Union. And I went. And I have to tell you, it was a shock to my system to go to that city. It's a wonderful city in many ways. It's got so much history, and I found the people really lovely and wonderful. I was only there for a couple of days. It's a quick hop. It's really short from Athens. And so it was easy, easy trip. And I did visit some of the sacred sites there and, had a profound experience. But what I wanted to share with you was this one thing that happened. I became aware of a collective thought form there almost immediately. It hit me kind of like walking into a wall. And it's a Muslim country. And, you know, you see many women wearing the veil. And, you know, in public, you actually don't see many women. You see mostly men in public. It's very separated between masculine and feminine. And so this energy that hit me like a wall was suppressed sexual energy. It was intense. It was so intense. And the temptation, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but when you go to a new place, when you experience this when you're traveling, when you go to a new place, very often, you know, you get hit by a new thought form. And if you have a strong witness, and if you've got a certain amount of spiritual development, if you're a meditator and you're sensitive, you recognize this new thought form that is part of that place, of the people that are there. It's not yours. And so this is what happened to me when I went there. I just suddenly became, I was feeling this energy, and I started thinking these thoughts, and I realized, what is this about? And then it snapped. It kicked in, and the witness said, this is suppressed sexual energy of this culture. And I thought, wow, this is so intense. And so I just processed it in my own way. I spent the 2 days that I was there witnessing it, letting it pass through, just watching it. And then when I left the country and went back to Greece, it was finished. I didn't feel it anymore. So I wanted to share this with you just because if you might be able to do this wherever you are, especially if you're traveling. But I find it a powerful exercise, even if you're not traveling. It could be if maybe you live in the countryside and you go to work in a city, or if you're going on vacation to a new place, or I don't know, if you live in the city and you happen, you know, you go out to the countryside to go into nature for an afternoon and take a walk. Just do this as an exercise for yourself and see if you can observe what the collective thought forms are that don't belong to you. And it's a difficult thing to describe. It's something you have to experience. But I can give you a couple of other examples to help. I know many of you on the call have been on the path for a long time, so you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you've probably had these experiences yourself. And what I would say is that for all of us, whether you're new to this or you've had this happen before, really this is one of the most important things that we can practice right now as spiritual seekers. We can set the intention that we want to be able to be independent of the collective thought forms. Because what happens is, as most of you on the call know, our thoughts are shared. That is what the collective, quote unquote, the collective is. The collective is the sum of all of our thought forms. And when you have enough people thinking the same thought form, it becomes this overwhelming thought form. And really, it's like the fish swimming in water. Most of us, you know, we don't realize that we're in the water. And the water is this thought form. So like just like the fish doesn't realize that he's in a system of water, we don't realize that we're in a system where we're all sharing our thoughts, and especially those powerful thoughts that fill the collective. So anyway, I was reminded when this experience happened to me, I was reminded of something that Leslie told me when I first met her. And some of you, if you've been around a while, you might have heard her say this as well. She talked about when she lived in South Africa back in the 60s and 70s during the apartheid era. And she was very frustrated because she wanted to make a difference. She really wanted to help South Africa come through that problem it was having, because it was painful for everybody. She was aware that everybody suffered, not just the black people who were the targets of the oppression, but also the white people, because it was a system that oppressed everyone, really. When one group is oppressed, everyone is oppressed. But because the country was 90% black, it was, you know, obvious that everybody was oppressed. So anyway, she prayed deeply, and she asked how, you know, what she could do to make a difference. And she tried all the things that she knew of as a young person to, you know, get involved in efforts to raise consciousness, to get involved in efforts, protests, and what have you, that would help to stop apartheid. And she felt very helpless. She felt like whatever she did didn't really make much of a difference. And she was, at the same time, she was starting her spiritual journey, learning to meditate, and just sort of her guides were starting to talk to her and starting to give her spiritual teachings. And there was a point where she got very frustrated because she could see that she felt what she was doing wasn't making much of a difference in the physical world. And she felt very helpless and alone. And so she in a little moment of frustration, she said to her guides, you know, what can one person do? What could I possibly do that would make a difference against this huge machine that's just plowing through the country? And she said, the guides said to her, we'll show you what one person can do. And she made the commitment to make a difference. It started with making the commitment. And after that episode where she made the commitment to make a difference and her guides said to her, we'll show you what one person can do, it was shortly after that that she and her husband at the time and their two children emigrated to the United States. And that's where she began her spiritual journey. And I think most of you know the rest of that story. She had her spiritual awakening experience in the late 80s. And it was right about that time, in 1989, in fact. Well, it was really leading up to 1989 that this change happened in South Africa, where Nelson Mandela was released from prison. And it was actually, if you read the history, it's still a great mystery why the president of the time, de Klerk, decided suddenly to let Mandela out of prison. And his conservative colleagues were all in shock. And they didn't understand what was going on, and they ostracized him, and he was a pariah in his own world, President de Klerk, because he made this decision. And interestingly, just as an aside, we heard from some friends later that had mutual friends with the ex-president and his wife, that he had a spiritual experience. And he told a few people about it, I guess, that he had some kind of spiritual experience that showed him this was what was needed to do, that he needed to release Mandela from prison. And nobody will probably ever know what that was, but that's what we've been told. So in any case, what happened for Leslie when she woke up in 1988 was she was shown the power of our thought forms increases exponentially as we evolve in consciousness, as we wake up more and more. If you've ever read the book by Dr. David Hawkins, Power Versus Force, you know that he's an extraordinary man. He's a PhD, and he developed a system to measure the power of a thought form. And he did all kinds of double-blind, triple-blind tests with kinesiology that led him to this development of this scale. He created a scale from 0 to 1,000 showing the power of a thought form. And I'm just summarizing here. I may not be getting the numbers slightly. I may not be getting the numbers exactly correct, but this is more or less what it is. It's a rough idea, so you get a sense of it. So what he found was that on this scale of consciousness that he created, people whose thought forms vibrate at a low rate, say below 200 or 250 or something, and these are people who tend to think thoughts of negativity. They tend to stay in the negative emotions, anger, pain, fear, resentment, judgment, violence. All the negative thought forms vibrate at those lower rates. And once somebody crosses the threshold and begins to live more in the higher states of the heart, so thought forms that are more in keeping with love and compassion and gratitude and generosity and wisdom and all the higher qualities, once somebody starts thinking more of those thoughts, their rate of vibration goes up, I think it's into the 300s or something like that. And then the scale goes all the way up to 1,000, and there are very, very few people on the planet vibrating at those very high rates. But he was saying that it would only take one person on the planet vibrating at 1,000 to counterbalance all 7 billion other people on the planet. That the power of our thought forms increases exponentially as we ascend on that scale of consciousness. So in other words, let's just say you're a person who's vibrating at, say, 400 or 350, because most of your thoughts are around love and compassion. Your thought forms are so much more powerful than people vibrating at the low rate that you might be balancing out hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, who are vibrating at those lower rates. So when I read this book, I just found it so important. It felt very, very important to know about this, that as we wake up, as we increase our vibration, we're balancing out more and more people. And so what so many people on the planet are saying right now, so many spiritual teachers, including the Dalai Lama and others, they're all saying that, I think it was a famous saying by Thich Nhat Hanh, he said that the next Buddha will be a Sangha. And what that means, the Sangha is a community. The Buddha is the leader of the community, but the Sangha is the community. And so when he said the next Buddha will be a Sangha, what he's saying, what all these other teachers are saying, is that it's no longer about one person vibrating at a very high rate. It's about all of us as a community raising our vibration so that as a collective, there are enough of us thinking those thought forms of love and compassion and gratitude and generosity and all the higher qualities. And when enough of us do that, that will be the tipping point that helps this planet to shift into the next dimension, into the new paradigm of the heart. So let's see, I've digressed a little bit. Let me come back to where I was. So the example that Leslie was given of, her contributions, we're not saying that she did this, that she made this happen in South Africa, but she was certainly a contributing factor. There were many people doing their work in consciousness and praying for South Africa and holding the intention that South Africa would come out of apartheid. And, you know, when Leslie made that commitment in the 70s and her guide said, we'll show you what one person can do, she was shown that the power of her thought forms increased exponentially when she had her spiritual awakening. And that definitely contributed to a tipping point that happened in South Africa, where then Mandela could come, you know, could be released from prison and then become elected the president in 94. So anyway, that was our personal example, that when Leslie shared that with me and when I read that book, I realized, okay, this is how it works. And so I had another experience long ago of this. I'll share this with you too, just as one more example. Leslie and I we weren't even in our relationship yet. I was just a student of hers, and we were on a retreat in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but we were living in Los Angeles. And it was right before Leslie and I started our relationship. And so this would have been in 1991, I think. So anyway, we were driving from Santa Fe back to Los Angeles. And I was driving the car, and Leslie was resting. She had done several days of events. She was tired. And I was very expanded in consciousness. I'd had such a profound weekend retreat that I was aware that I was a whole new person, that I had expanded my consciousness to this whole new state. And I was hypersensitive, hyper aware. You know how that is after you attend a meditation retreat. You're very aware, very sensitive. So the experience was that as we drove back into the Los Angeles area, into the Southern California area, I had not been thinking any thoughts. I was aware that I was simply being, not thinking. And then suddenly, as we passed through this one town called Barstow, which is on the outskirts of Los Angeles, I started thinking a thought, and it kept beeping at me, this thought. And the thought was, I want a beer, and I want my chick. And I remembered thinking, when it first came, I thought, what the hell is that about? And, you know, obviously it wasn't coming from me, but it was so weird because it felt like a thought. It's hard to describe, but it literally was a thought in my head, but it wasn't mine. And it took a couple of minutes for the penny to drop, which was like suddenly I realized we were entering a more populated area. We'd been driving through a desert, the Mojave Desert, and there weren't many people. But as soon as we hit the first town, I started picking up the collective thought forms of that town. And it's a town where there are a lot of truckers who stop and a lot of bikers. And there were lots of bars along the main strip there. And so I was picking up this thought form of, I want a beer and I want my chick. And then we kept driving into Los Angeles, and I realized we were in East Los Angeles, where there's quite a bit of gang violence, and I started thinking violent thoughts. I started thinking like angry, kind of violent type thoughts, and it was so obvious that I wasn't in that place that it was clear to me those were not my thoughts either. And then as we kept driving towards, I was going towards apartments, and I started thinking, you know, I need to get a new car. This car is so old and I really need a new car. And then I realized, I stopped myself and I thought, wait a minute, I don't need a new car. This car is perfectly fine. There's no reason for me to get a new car. And I realized I was picking up the thought forms of the people in West Los Angeles, where there's more affluence. We were driving not far from some cities like Beverly Hills. So anyway, that also showed me how this works, that the power of our thought forms is extraordinary, and we share our thought forms. It's all a big soup. And so our path as spiritual seekers, especially now as we're facing this tipping point into the next dimension, our task and our challenge is to determine which are our thoughts and which are the thoughts of the collective, and then to remember that we're not our thoughts at all. The thoughts are just passing through us, and we are the pure awareness. We are the love. We're the essence, the soul essence. And so so this exercise, if you've never tried it, is fantastic. And you know, we naturally, as we meditate more and as we process more and clear the ego more, this is a natural progression. We just naturally get more sensitive, and we're naturally more able to discern what are our thoughts and what are the thoughts of other people. And then we can much more easily witness and much more easily step out of that and not buy into it. And that's the journey. That's the journey of awakening. So when we can do that more and more, it's like a positive feedback loop, because then we're able to ascend more in consciousness because we live more in the witness. And as we do that, our thought forms become exponentially more powerful. So we counterbalance the thoughts of more and more people as we process and as we wake up and can do this witnessing and discerning of the thought forms. So anyway, it's an exercise that I invite you to try from between now and when we meet again. If you're traveling, it's a great opportunity to practice it, to see what you experience when you go to a new place, especially if you're going from the country into the city. That's where it works best. But also the other way, if you're going from the city out into the country, notice what thought forms you're not thinking. And that can also help you to realize, oh, when I'm in that city, I'm in that collective thought form, and that's not mine. I can choose not to buy into that, whatever the thought form of that city is. You know, for example, in New York, it's a lot about money. In Los Angeles, it's maybe a lot about fame and celebrity. Anyway, you get the idea. When Las Vegas, Leslie and I drove through Las Vegas once, and we did a whole process around the consciousness of Las Vegas, and it was very much about gambling. People wanted, it was like a lot of what we called lottery consciousness, where, you know, people are coming because they all want to get something for nothing. And it has that, and that also had a lot to do with victim consciousness. So we did a whole process around that. So anyway, I could go on, but this is all, it's probably enough for today. It's fascinating stuff. I think it's time. Let's open up to sharing and questions. Anything that you, if you want to talk about this particular topic, or if there's something going on for you in your life that you want to share, that's fine too. Barbara?
Wonderful, Brad. Thank you. This has given us a lot of food for thought, pun intended.
That was good.
Thank you. That came right through. So just to remind everybody, if you would like to share, it's star 2 to raise your hand. And I will also be checking on the Q&A board for those of you who are on the web and who would like to write in your questions or your comments or your shares. And, you know, Brad, as you were sharing about this, you know, I couldn't help but connect how and why our group processing continues to get exponentially more powerful. And it just is making me more and more excited to do this work together. That, you know, and synchronistically, and I won't get into it too much with you, but I was looking up somebody's email address yesterday. I wanted to connect with them, and I pulled up an email from 2008 from Leslie about Zimbabwe. And this person was gathering a group together to do healing and processing for Zimbabwe at that time. And I thought, wow, isn't that so synchronistic? And Leslie talked about power versus force in that email yesterday. From 2008.
That's amazing.
Isn't
profound? It's funny. I have to say something because as I was thinking about what to talk about today, I started writing notes about, I was going to talk about balancing masculine and feminine. I wrote a whole bunch of notes down about that. And then suddenly this other thing came through to talk about. And it was overwhelming that I just needed to talk about this, but I had prepared something different. So there's something for us all in this, the fact that that happened to you, Barbara, and that we wound up talking about this today, there's something about it.
Yes, and this is the point of awakening where we take full responsibility for our thoughts, and just your sharing about how these thoughts can come in, you know, totally unaware, and if we're not conscious, if we're not fully awake, we can be pulled right down the downward spiral with these thoughts. So I think we're being asked to grow and evolve and take responsibility for what we're putting into the collective consciousness. So wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. It's about what we put in. It's about what we put in as well. It's a good point. I didn't mention that. And it's also about recognizing that as these times we're in get more challenging, you know, we're going to want to have that skill. You're going to want to have the skill to say, no, this is not part of what I'm about. This is something else.
Yes. So very exciting conversation this morning, Brad, or today. So we do have a few hands raised. And so if you're ready, Brad, the first hand is Marie-Flor. Marie-Flor, you have the mic.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Brad. And thank you, Barbara. I have a follow-up question on the thought forms. I do understand very well that some things are not ours. The piece, and I understand that part of our spiritual growth and discipline is to, you know, learn to discern what's, if it's really something I'm thinking, like I want my chicken, my beer, or if it's something that the collective. The piece where I am missing a guidance is, you know, for example, to bring it home to me, I work for the Department of Justice, and then when I go in the building, there are thought forms that say, and I know they are not necessarily mine, blacks are inferior, blacks' IQs is low, it's out turf, you know, we won't give work to black people and things like that. So I have processed enough with Core Light and with my mentor that I have been able to see what is really not mine, and what it's as if I, when I got into the building, like I get hypnotized. It's so strong. It's as if somebody's putting me on a drug, and I can be fine at home the minute I enter the building. But I am able to witness that now. But the question that I was asking is, if we connect it to power versus force, if I, for example, want to, I am aware that I'm witnessing, but how do I get to the next stage of it where I am, Leslie was able to leave South Africa. I am still working there. So how do I make a change? Without wanting to change things, but how can I be a positive agent if that's what, you know, is supposed to happen for others? You know, is the witnessing enough that this is not my thought, or am I supposed to do something more? I'm not talking outwardly, like going on some street, you know, with some banners. I'm talking about the spiritual work. Is witnessing enough when you are engulfed like that? Is witnessing enough to stop that trend for other people as well? That's my question.
Yeah, great, great question, Marie-Flor. Fantastic. Thank you for bringing that up. I would say a few things. First of all, yes, witnessing can be enough. As long as you're aware, you know, that it's not yours, and you just, when it comes up, you say, no, that's not mine, and you let it pass through you. And that's also what I'm aware of, is that, and this is what Leslie has taught me as well, and it's been my own experience, and that is that it's when something gets stuck in you and that you have a reaction to it. Let's just say, for example, you know, you walk into the building and you're aware that you're in that thought form of black people are inferior for whatever reason they're saying. If you reacted to it and got really angry and said, I'm going to do something today about this, and I'm, you know, whatever, and then you actually might say something to somebody about their racism. It's reacting that shows you that you've actually still got some work to do. You've got some processing left to do. But if you're able to let it pass through you and you witness it and you're like, oh, well, yeah, of course, that's what these people are thinking. That's what they're about. That's the highest form of processing that you can do, is simply allowing it to pass through. So I can't think of anything else other than that. It's you, your vibration, it's your vibration that you hold when you walk into that building or wherever you are, that is going to affect the people around you. It's by osmosis. It just happens naturally. You don't have to speak about it. You don't have to act on it. It just happens. So the fact that Leslie went to the United States, it was important for her to do that, to get away from South Africa, not specifically to get away from South Africa. It was more that that's where her teacher was. There were two teachers she had in the body, and they were both in Los Angeles. And so, and also the West Coast of the U.S. in the 70s was like an epicenter for this work, the spiritual work. So she had to go there to be able to learn and to be able to grow in consciousness and then wake up herself. That would never have happened in South Africa because she didn't have the teachers there and she didn't have the capacity there. So that was the reason, you know, for that. For you, I also want to say, you know, I feel like Washington, D.C. has got to be the epicenter for the world right now of some of the most intense thought forms. You know, you are in a bullseye area. So I really want to just take this opportunity to honor you and to just acknowledge what you must be going through. I have other friends who are not so conscious in Washington, D.C., and they are having the hardest time of their lives. They're depressed. They're morose. I mean, they're talking about life's not worth living. They're saying things to me like, I'm just in a dark, dark place and I can't get out of it. And these are people who I've known for a long time. They're lovely people, evolved spiritually, have done some work. But wow, the shadow is so intense there that for you to be able to live there and to be able to have this experience of witnessing those thought forms and being in that particular building where you are, it's amazing, Marie Fleur. So I just want to say one last time that I feel, I've said this on other calls to you, that I feel, you know, you're doing some very important piece of work, not just for yourself, but for everybody. And you know, you're in a very difficult place. And so I'm sure that it's got to be challenging for you. And again, I honor you for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. So that helps me. So helped me is that I think in the beginning I was in reactivity with the thought forms. They were so huge. It was like a tsunami. I was being engulfed by their thought forms. And I think with the help of my Core Light mentor and all of you and the processing, the polarity and all of the work I've been doing, I think now I realize one part of the lesson was to learn to get to that point where I could witness that tsunami wasn't me. That was something, and it took a few years to get there. But thank you so much. Yeah, I really am very grateful. Thank you. I feel complete. Yes, thank you.
And
thank
before
you,
go, yeah, before you go, Marie Flor,
yes.
Brad, I am reminded, and I thought you might have shared during your conversation today or your discussion that Leslie shared with us that through this apartheid piece, when she was asking what can one person do, she let me see how if I can kind of get this together here. She was guided to write a letter to Paul Simon. And he,
oh, yeah, I remember that story.
Remember that? And I can't remember
yeah.
whether he had already done the Graceland album or not.
No.
But I don't think he had, and she was really reaching out to him to please share and spread the word of equality. And to bring to light what was happening with apartheid and how she took months and months, Marie Flor, to write this letter. And she kept doing it and rewriting it and rewriting it until she finally got to the place where her guide said, yes, this is it. And when she was ready with it, they said, but don't send it now. Now that you've done it, you can let it go into the ethers. And very shortly thereafter, I believe, is when they came out with this Graceland album and started doing this, you know, worldwide tour. And I believe that was, you know, shortly thereafter when President de Klerk released Mandela from prison. And I also remember Leslie sharing that she drew some artwork
she did stage
design of what the set of Paul Simon's concert was to look like, colors and all kinds of things, and she had it in just exquisite detail, and that when she finally went to the concert in person, it was exactly what she had drawn. Do you remember that, Brad?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up.
So I think these are things that we can do without actually having to go. Marie Flor, you were saying, you know, go out and march and picket and hold signs and things. That, you know, this is the power of thought.
Mm.
Yeah, and specifically, Barbara, just to elaborate on what you said there, it was beautifully shared. And what she was doing, what Leslie was doing with that letter, was she knew that Paul Simon had an opportunity to empower South Africans, specifically to empower the South Africans with their music, but also to raise consciousness for the world about what was happening in South Africa. And so she wrote to him on that topic. She specifically wrote to him about that topic. She said, use your – because she had heard the music. I think she'd heard the Graceland music already.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so she said, use – you know, she – in the letter, she was helping him to
bring it to the world. To
raise consciousness specifically, and that's what happened. So,
so that is what one person can do.
Yeah, I can be working.
Yes.
You might meditate on it. Meditate on it, Marie Flor, and see if there's a letter you can write to, you know, somebody in the Justice Department or somebody who is in government that holds some power over whatever's going on in your area, and write a letter to them from higher consciousness saying, here's what you have the power to do. And, you know, don't send it, but get it just right. What Barbara was saying, that Leslie spent a lot of time, she meditated
did.
On it every night, and she would she would tweak it a little bit each morning until she got the vibration exact, and then she knew it was finished. So
that is pretty powerful.
Yes, and I have such goosebumps on this. I really do.
Too.
I think that this is really meant to be right now. That we're sharing this moment together.
I feel the power of that share. And I have an idea exactly who to write to.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You so much.
Bless you.
It's funny that you say that. Somebody read me the runes about 10 days ago, and the person said to me, you're going to win. And but the person said, you have someone in your corner. And I was like, I cannot see anybody in my corner. And the person, no, there is a wound that you pull. There's somebody in your corner. And I think that was the person. It's somebody that I may not necessarily connect to physically, but it is somebody that I can connect to in consciousness.
Yes.
That's in my, yeah, I had not thought of that. Thank you so much. I bow at your feet, to both of you.
Oh.
Thank you so much. You gave me a missing piece.
Yes, and we at yours,
yeah, you
Marie-Fleur.
Yeah, you
yeah,
gave me a missing piece.
Too.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marie-Fleur. Beautiful. Okay, the next hand raised is Linda. Linda, you have the mic.
Okay, thank you. I have a question about the book, Brad, that you mentioned by Dr. David, was it Hawkins or Dawkins?
Hawkins.
Hawkins.
H-A-W-K-I-N-S.
Okay, and what was the name of the book?
Power versus Force.
Power versus Force. Okay. I've been taking copious notes here, but I didn't get that down.
Yeah, it's a good
and
point.
I just wanted to mention that another, at least to my mind, a little bit more recent example of just confirmation that what we do, the thought forms that we generate and the energies that we can liberate together as a community do have an effect on events. Last summer when I was with you on the Greece trip, there were so many instances where I felt as if we in fact were in touch with the female energies that had been trapped underground at all of the sites that we visited, and we did so much work in trying to get in touch with those and free those, and it felt powerful while it was happening. I remember realizing sitting at the wall kind of at the edge of the Acropolis that when I moved from the the female ley line to the male ley line, I could tell the difference in the energies coming up through my butt. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And look what all has happened since that summer and since those meditations trying to free the female energy. We've had the Me Too movement. We've had women coming out to organize in numbers that they haven't done politically maybe ever in the United States. There's genuine change going on that I can feel, I can see in the news, even though it's the kind of change that seems very, very threatening to the patriarchy and is indeed. To some extent, maybe the extremity that we see in of the negativity in the Trump administration and the danger that they're putting all of our institutions in, you know, it does seem like we're cracking loose again those energies that can completely reorder the way the world operates if we can kind of write it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes
well,
it feels
you,
really hard to write out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, and this is part of it, you know. I think what you're feeling right now is the grief that we all feel around the losses. You know, the grief of the loss of what seems like our beautiful world. And it's important to feel those feelings. It's important to allow that grief and you know, grieve as much as you need to and not to deny it, you know, and not to say, well, it's not happening or whatever. But also at the same time to remember that we can make a difference.
Yep.
One individual can make a difference. As a group, we can make a difference. You know, we're doing the work. And we are going to make the change. It is going to happen. It's going to take a little time, and it's probably going to get a little worse before it gets better. But, you know, what you mentioned about our time in Greece was we made a difference. We know we did. We weren't the only ones. There are lots of people, lots and lots of people doing that work. But we specifically made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I feel consolation from that. You know, when you look at at all the negativity and the destruction and the loss that we're experiencing, it helps to remember that, you know, we're making a difference.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And thank you so, so much for making that experience available to us to take part in.
That's my favorite thing in the world to do. I love doing those trips. It's just, they're so much fun and so powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming, Lynn.
I hope there's going to be another one in the not too far off future.
Next summer, I'm planning at least one, if not maybe more than one, for next summer. So stay tuned. Yeah, so we'll do a couple in Greece. We're going to do one. There's the one in South Africa that's already been announced. A couple in Greece, and maybe others. I'm hoping to do one, possibly walking the Camino in Portugal. It's going very slow, so I'm not sure that's going to happen next summer. But one day we'll do a Camino trip in Portugal.
Well, wonderful, wonderful experiences to be able to take part in.
Well, thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Much love.
You too.
Okay, so thank you, Linda. And the next hand raised is Tia. Tia, you have the mic.
Thank you, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
I just would love to start by saying thank you to everyone who has shared, and Brad, thank you for this call so much. And before the call started, I was feeling into an experience I had, and I'm pretty sure I shared on the phone call with everyone last week on Leslie's birthday, but it was another wonderful clearing and dream time. And then I woke up still with the work going on. But and it was that power of thought and what we do hold on to as a belief or a vibration that we carry and how that affects our electromagnetic field. And that, of course, is going to be the law of attraction, and it's going to affect you experiencing the law of opposites too. With the power of the whole eclipse and the Lionsgate included, and then Leslie's birthday, I had also felt to call on Archangel Michael to use his blue flame of sword of truth. Let me say that again, his blue flame sword of truth to cut contract cord. Yeah. And that was the night that the dream occurred where I witnessed my judging of my oldest sister as being mean and awful. And I've really been blessed. She's one of my teachers for sure. And the law of opposites has played out in our relationship because maybe there was a time when she was pretty harsh on me. But now for me carrying the thought that she's mean, I am now experiencing what it is to be the mean one, because you can't carry that belief without it becoming yours. You carry your belief. I saw in the dream the shaft of light going from me to her as I was blaming her. It was set in in a courtroom type thing. And so the first perspective was my small mind saying, you are mean and bad and spiteful and all this. And then the higher perspective came in and I could see that shaft of light. And I call it a shaft of light because it was so wide so that I could really see in it. And it really can be related to when you're in a movie theater and you see the projections coming towards the screen from the camera. You can see swirling information. You can actually, because of the air and the ethers there, you can see this information of the movie actually in the shaft. I don't know if everybody can relate to that vision. And it's in that is the thought form, and that is what it is that you then are holding and creating with. And it's and I find that the word contact is just one letter off from contract. And when you were talking about being in, like Marie Floor was sharing about, when she walks in the building, she can feel that hypnotic effect of that collective thought that's, who knows how it could even be being created. And just to be free of the, you may become in contact with it, but you don't want to create a contract with it, which is the holding on to the judgment of it. And then the other saying that's been so strong with this clearing and teaching is, judge not lest ye be judged. And I even feel like putting another word in there, judge not lest you be the judged. I mean, it you are one and the same. There's no separation. We are one. And I could see that shaft or those cords as being the collective mind, the neurosynapse, or just the whole neuro structure of the collective mind. It felt like that also in this dream. So it really, I could really feel into the oneness and the collective mind and the way we function in the collective mind. And see if there was anything else to the share. Just in a lighthearted note, I know that I have felt that hypnotic effect of a little collective whenever I've been in Walmart and I'm pushing around an empty shopping cart. You can see other people just in this like hypnotic. It's like, it's not real life, but I mean, it's like they just are shopping. There's like that hypnotic effect as well. And so I just thought of that as one more example of just this little collective that you pick up on. It's like, well, I need stuff. Well, I need to fill my cart. I've got to have stuff.
It's true. Wow, that's such a great example. I get that all the time when I'm in almost any store. It's like, oh, I need that. And then I think, I don't need anything. I don't certainly need that. You know?
I know it, right? But I believe I'm complete on my share about the projection, the literal projection screen, and seeing the thought forms, feeling them as what connects us all. And so when we can empower those thought forms and those streams that we have in our collective mind, oh boy, yippee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the power of our minds and doing our inner work to clear and release that which we are holding. Even I heard Trump mentioned, I believe, by Linda, I believe. And there's one that I really feel that this work of looking at the tyrant and what miracles we're going to do when we really realize that we can just look upon all of the folks that are feeling these feelings that are causing the suffering. When we can really pump full our collective mind with the love and compassion instead of that, you know, thinking that they're an asshole or something. Sorry for the term, but all right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Tia. Beautiful sharing. Thank you so much. It reminds me to, I'd like to respond to what you said. You reminded me that one of the things that Leslie, she told me about that story that I was sharing earlier. When she asked her guides, what can one person do? And then she went on that whole adventure and woke up and wrote the letter to Paul Simon and wrote the Marriage of Spirit book. And when she started writing, they said something else to her. They said, the pen is mightier than the sword. That was all they said. She didn't know what they meant. And then she started writing after that. So the pen is mightier than the sword. It gives us all an opportunity to do this writing, you know. That helps to empower our thought forms when we do the writing. And the other
I would just say back when I really started, my shell started cracking back in the early 2000s, that was one of my cry outs was, you know, there was such hopelessness. Everyone around me, and me included, I was right in there, was like helpless, hopeless with the shads and the 9/11 and everything. And I was just, my cry out was, show me what one person can do. I know one person can do. I know. I just, you know, it was, that was part of the connection. So thank you for sharing that too.
Absolutely. And also there's a quote, it's a quote that's been used a lot, so most of us have heard it, but it's Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a, never doubt the power of a small group of people to change the world. Mm. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
Mm. Yeah, so true.
So we have that power.
Yes, and
it also.
And I would say that this, all the small groups, all the fields of light workers, it's really a cool time right now too, because it just seems like the collective connections are amping up too. It's like the new realities, the new collective mind, if you will, is really forming more so too in these times right now. Perhaps there's people on this call that are, of course, involved with other fields. And I know I have one other one that I work in a lot. And just bridging them all, you know, connecting us all together more and more just to weave this beautiful web. Nice.
Yeah. Thank you, Tia.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Brad, that's real interesting because – the quote is, never doubt the power of a small group for changing the world, because that's what always has. And here it feels we're birthing a new world. So it's like the power of the small groups coming together to create the new big group or something like that.
Maybe. Yes. Yeah.
The new collective consciousness.
Yeah.
And it is ours to be there with our thoughts, with our feelings, and with our actions, not in the other, because the other then becomes us, not what we want to birth.
And in a very conscious way. So many of us have felt so unconscious in so many ways, and now we are coming into this conscious co-creation with the knowing that our thoughts do create our reality, and how empowering that is.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Tia.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tia.
And it's about 10 of Brad. We do have a couple of comments on the web. If you want to just take a quick. Okay, so Ellen writes, can you share how the prayer circle request is going? Is that similar to what Brad was speaking about, the thought process, or is that different? Thanks, Ellen.
Oh, great question, Ellen. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think it's very similar. I think they're directly related. The power of prayer has been proven in so many instances. And, a prayer, what is a prayer but our thought form? A prayer is us sending out a thought form. So that when we're vibrating at a very high rate and living in love and compassion and generosity and gratitude, then the power of our prayers is exponentially increased. So the prayer circle is going very well. I have to tell you, I have a very dear friend who is one of the most sensitive people I've ever met on the planet. And she can see and feel energy and thought forms. She's incredibly psychic, and she can see and feel more than just about anybody I've ever met. And she was ill, and we put her on the prayer circle. And she said to me, after just a few days, she said, "Wow, Brad, that Core Light prayer circle is extraordinary." She said, I was very aware when I tuned in on my own body, being so ill." She said, I was aware that something new had happened, and that she saw it as a net of light that was enfolding her. She felt wrapped up in this net of light that was healing and supportive and loving, and she described it as this beautiful nurturing quality that was so comforting for her in her illness. And she said, "Brad, I saw that is the Core Light prayer circle."
Mm-hmm.
So it's real, you know, it's tangible. People feel it. It works. Even if you can't feel the power of somebody's prayers, it still is there. So I hope that helps, Ellen.
Yes.
Thanks for the question.
And Ellen's been on the prayer circle, and we continue to hold you, Ellen, on your journey with so much healing, love, and light in that beautiful web. And so we have one other.
Keep us posted, Ellen, about how you're doing, too. I'd like to hear how you're doing, so please share.
And so we have one final comment or question on the web, and that is from Margaret from Palm Springs. And Margaret asks, how can we best help the victims of worldwide child trafficking and pedophilia?
Wow. Well, again, you know, that's a big, big topic. I mean, I know that that's huge. It's bigger than most of us are aware. I know that there's more information coming out all the time about just how many people disappear every year and how many millions of people are involved in that very thing. So, I would say, you know, it's everything we're talking about today. We can include them in our prayers, and we can also, you know, remember something that Leslie has said to us many times, and I think I ended the call last week with this thought as well, and that is that the greatest gift that we can give the world is our own awakened consciousness. So if you want to help the people who are involved in the trafficking, if you want to help the animals who are suffering, if you want to help anybody who's suffering, endangered species or nature, whatever it is, yes, it's important to get off your meditation cushion at times and go and do something physically to help what's there for you to do. But the most powerful thing is your own awakened consciousness. And I think that's really been the message of this call, is that we look at Leslie's example and we look at all the other examples that we've been given today. You know, it shows us that that's how we can help. Showing our compassion, showing our love, taking action when necessary, yes, doing sacred activism, and also doing our own meditation and clearing work to wake up. So I hope that helps. Barbara, is there anything else you want to say about that?
No, this is so beautiful, Brad, and, you know, we're really coming into a place and state of very heart-centered consciousness, and I can really feel the heart of the group, and I just want to express my deep love and gratitude for each and every one, and thank you, Brad, so much for beautifully guiding us through these very, very turbulent times. So in deep gratitude.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for all that you do. You do so much for us. Deeply grateful to you.
Yes. And my love to Leslie, too, because I can just feel her so strongly on this call today. So just wanting to put that out there, too. Thank you, Leslie.
That's from all of us, Leslie. We love you so much, and thank you so much for all that you've done for us and all that you continue to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to end. I know we're almost done. So I wanted to end today's call. Yes, we'll do a little short prayer meditation, but just quickly, there's an exercise I'd like to leave everybody with. And this is something that we can each do as many times throughout the day as you think of it, but do it at least once a day. And that is that in any given experience throughout the day, you ask yourself, what is the highest choice I can make right now with this situation? That's number one. And number two, you ask, what is the highest thought that I can have right now in this situation? Because usually we're thinking about how we can get what we want or how I can get someone else to do what I want or, you know, something that's about me, me, me. And we can shift that. It's our choice what we think. So if we practice this, it puts us into the witness. And, for example, if we feel sadness or pain or maybe we're grieving about some kind of loss that we're experiencing, we might stop and do this exercise and say, all right, what is the highest choice I can make right now? What is the highest thought that I can have right now? And in that case, if it's about loss, we might choose to shift that into maybe gratitude, for example, for what we do have or for what that thing we supposedly lost gave us and taught us. You know, being thankful for the lessons that we can take from that with us. So that's the exercise. Give it a try and see what you notice. There's one more little note I wrote here. Let me just see what this is. This is another exercise. Okay, this is part two of the exercise. You can take it a step further with a writing exercise. You can write about your greatest loss, whatever the greatest loss of your life has been. Write what that is, write it down, and then take the time to write a reframe of it and ask yourself, what is the highest choice I can make about that right now? What is the highest thought that I can have about that right now? So I find this exercise very helpful. I hope you do too. Seems to be in keeping with what we're talking about today.
And Brad, just really quickly, what is popping in for me is there's a new, I haven't seen it yet, but there's a new Winnie the Pooh movie that's just recently being released. And it's actually from the adult Christopher Robin and his perspective. And all I could see as you were sharing about, I love this, what is the highest choice and what is the highest thought, I was seeing Eeyore and Tigger. And that, you know, that Eeyore is, oh, woe is me. And all the negativity, right? that he's just, oh dear, oh my, and here's Tigger, who is just bouncing along as happy as can be. So I don't know if that just
right.
popped in, so I just thought I would share, as you know, to the choices that we make.
Yeah, no, that's a great analogy. We have a little Tigger sitting on one shoulder and a little Eeyore sitting on the other shoulder, and we get to choose which one we want to indulge in.
Thank you, Brad.
I saw there was a TED Talk I watched one day, and the guy was saying, you know, we have a choice, and the image he gave was so graphic. I love this image. He said, it's a choice. In one hand, we're holding an ice cream cone. And if we look down at our feet, there's one of our feet that is stepping in dog shit. And where do we choose to place our attention? Are we going to focus on the fact that we have an ice cream cone in our hand?
Oh,
or are we going to focus on the fact that we're stepping in dog shit?
Oh,
and,
dear.
You know, it's not that we deny the one that's negative. No, we say, no, that's there. You know, how do I feel about that? Okay, I can let that go now. Let's actually choose to feel gratitude for having the ice cream.
mm-hmm.
You know. And maybe there's a lesson we learned about stepping in the dog shit, and we can be grateful for that lesson. So these are the reframes.
Pay attention and watch where you're walking.
Yeah, right. Right. And all the wonderful compost that dog poop is going to make for the earth. Right?
And all that will grow from that.
Right, exactly. How grateful are we for that? So anyway, I think that's what we're all facing here is our day-to-day, moment-to-moment thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we putting our attention? What are we focused on? What is ours?
Mm-hmm.
What is not ours? What can we let go of? How can we reframe the lower thought forms into higher ones? Okay, well, I see we're out of time, so let's do what we always do. We'll just have a little short couple minutes of relaxation, and I'll say a little closing prayer. Barbara, is there anything else to say before we complete?
No, just please, if you feel so called or so guided, we would love to have you join us next week on the processing call. And more info about time and call-in info will be sent out this week.
Thank you, Barbara. And I want to thank
Thanks.
All of you for joining us. Yeah, thank you so much for being part of the journey today and for participating in our Core Light community. And just thank you for all the love that you share. We receive it all the time. So thank you. Whether you're with us live or you're listening to this recording later, thank you for participating. So let's close our eyes again and just get comfortable and take a few long, deep breaths and just let go, relax. Continue to take long, slow, deep breaths, breathing in the light and releasing any stress or tension. And we call again on all of the spiritual guides, all of the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite all of you who we called in today, we invite all of you to be with us right now and hear our prayer. We thank you, and we're deeply, deeply grateful for this time that we've shared. And for Spirit surrounding us with so much love and light, for the love and the light that each person in this community generates and shares, all the positive, uplifting thoughts, and emotions. So we hold this space of gratitude. Let's all do that right now. Let's put that thought form into our collective call right now, a thought form of gratitude. Let's all visualize ourselves standing in a circle holding hands. Many people all over the world participating in our call today. So just see, even though you may not know anybody else on the call, I know some of you know others, but some people are new and don't know anybody. Doesn't matter. Just see that we are part of a soul group and we are connected, holding hands in a circle. And in the center of the circle, we put the thought form and the feeling of gratitude. It's a heart state. So feel it in your heart. Feel the gratitude opening your heart. How thankful you are for this time, for all the gifts that were given in our life, even if we might be facing great challenges. Just think of the gratitude you have for everything else that you're given in life. And one day, you'll even feel grateful for the challenge if you're not feeling it right now. Because we all see eventually, or at least we have the opportunity to see eventually, what a gift the challenge was and how grateful we are for the lessons we learned and the growth we received from the challenges of life. So let's shift it right now into gratitude and love. And so just take a moment while we're right here together and feel the love of the circle. Feel the love of the spiritual guides who are surrounding us, pouring love down at us all the time. Take a moment to open up and receive that love. Receive the gift of energy, Shakti. And feel the gratitude for that. And you'll find when you feel that love and that gratitude, when you really start to let it in, you actually begin to smile because it brings joy. So just let yourself smile. Turn the corners of your mouth up if you're not smiling already. And feel that love and that gratitude, which brings joy. We have so much to be thankful for, so much. We're grateful for the gift of these bodies that we wear, this incarnation our soul has chosen at this time. The gift that we receive of being in these beautiful bodies on this amazing, beautiful planet. We're so deeply grateful. And we offer that love and that gratitude and that joy out into the collective. So again, I thank you, everybody. Thank you for participating in this group love fest, in this gratitude fest. And may we all take that with us today and throughout the month ahead till we meet again. Come back to this place as often as you can. And I look forward to seeing you there on the inner planes. So with all my love and all my gratitude, I say goodbye for now. Many blessings.
The moderator has left the conference.